No, this is fucking bad.
Welcome to the podcast. It is Friday, July 7th, 2023. So it's follow-up Friday. Slow news again today, especially out of D.C., out of the White House. Why? Because the cocaine found in the White House is driving the narrative. Driving it through the weekend. The narrative that Hunter is a recovering addict and not a shrewd influence peddler. Excuse me. Now let's be clear. Possession of cocaine is a felony. And a felony which was committed at the White House with the acquiescence of the administration. And as some say, an attempted cover-up. So we're going to be looking at that and the GOP's reaction. Also, the Uniparty is once again escalating the war in Ukraine. They're escalating it by agreeing to ship cluster munitions to the Western vassal state to confront the superior Russian effort. And also, I'm going to be giving an update on the strange mass shooting in Philly, where an insane leftist was left uninvestigated after bizarre threatening social media posts. Why is that? We kind of see a trend of, you know, crazy people, vulnerable people, lonely people, who are spouting off violently on the internet, making threats and whatnot, and they're left alone by investigative bodies like the FBI. So I'm going to be looking into that as well. Plus, more news. But don't forget to like, subscribe, engage the channel, leave a comment down below, or follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook. Get our minds, True Social. So let's get into the news, into the headlines this Friday, July 7th, 2023. So we're going to start off with the Washington Times here. The House GOP investigators seek briefing on shameful cocaine incident at the White House. The top House investigators demanding a briefing from the Secret Service on how cocaine ended up in the key area of the West Wing, saying Congress deserves to know whether security lapses led to the shameful episode at the White House. The presence of illegal drugs in the White House is unacceptable. Indeed. And shameful moment in the White House history, Mr. Comer said. And we all know what surrounded that. They brought in a hazmat team and what have you. We don't know if it was someone in the Secret Service not letting it go and reporting it because they found it blatant. They might have even saw Hunter stashing it, because apparently on the July 4th weekend where Hunter Biden was seen on the balcony viewing fireworks, that he exhibited signs of cocaine use. So, I mean, people, he was touching his nose and he was acting very erratically and whatnot. Personally, I don't have any problem with recreational drug use, but it's still an illegal substance in the White House. And for people to look the other way, if he's still a regular drug user, recreational drug user, he shouldn't be in the White House. That's just my take on it. But like I said, this is being molded as a distraction from the bigger problems of the administration, which is influence peddling and possible espionage. You can see this from Fox News here is reporting White House allies dismiss cocaine discovery as GOP fodder, political bullshit, Secret Service investigating bag of cocaine found in common area of the West Wing. Who knows why Hunter might have taken it off his person and stashed it somewhere. Who knows why? So that's the real question. And there are cameras and whatnot that could get to the bottom of this. But it's a red herring. This is just to distract us from the real problems of the administration, which is influence peddling, possible espionage, and certainly graft. So we're going to go on to the next story here, which is from the Washington Post. Biden approves cluster munition supply to Ukraine. Transfer will bypass legal limits on DUD rates for the controversial weapons. The problems they have with cluster munitions is that they pose a problem after detonations. If some don't explode, it's a danger to civilians, and a lot of people view it as unnecessarily cruel. President Biden has approved the provision of U.S. cluster munitions for Ukraine with drawdown of the weapons from the Defense Department stocks due to be announced Friday. The move, which will bypass U.S. law prohibiting the production, use, and transfer of cluster munitions with a failure rate of more than 1%, comes amid concerns about Kiev's lagging counteroffensive against entrenched Russian troops and dwindling Western stocks of conventional artillery. It's not working. The Ukraine counteroffensive isn't working. Why? No matter what they have tried to do, they're just no match for the Russian military. And plus, the Russian military was well aware of the telegraphed counteroffensive, so they set up defensive positions with minefields and other problems for any offensive by the Ukrainians, who aren't really known for their battlefield grit going up against a well-seasoned Russian military. From the National Review, Biden agrees with congressional Republicans will send cluster munitions to Ukraine. The American public broadly wants Ukraine to prevail in the war and sees Russia as an enemy. Okay, National Review. I think now you're going into propaganda territory. The American public broadly doesn't give a shit about Ukraine and doesn't want to instigate a war between the West, NATO, and Russia. A Reuters survey in June found 81% of Democrats, 56% of Republicans, and 57% of independents favor supplying U.S. weapons to Ukraine. That's way different than what your conjecture here of they want Ukraine to prevail in a war and sees Russia as the enemy. They want Ukraine to be able to defend themselves against an invasion, obviously, but this isn't the real point, which is that since the West took over Ukraine, they've been prodding the bear by sending Ukrainian military with Western military into Eastern Ukraine to try to flush out any Russian military assets that they have there. Whether they're, direct military elements or not. But the news that President Biden has authorized the transfer of U.S. cluster munitions to Ukraine may complicate attitudes toward the war. Indeed, and Americans and the American role in it. For starters, it was congressional Republicans on the House and Senate Armed Services Committee who most strongly favored sending cluster munitions, or in military jargon, dual-purpose improve conventional munitions. Now, especially Senate Republicans, where you have Mitch McConnell and the other war hawks in there who are just, it's part of their grift from supporting the military-industrial complex and whatever they want to do. So, and then I'm going to give an update here from the Daily Mail. Cross-dressing gunmen behind the July 4th Philly bloodbath that left five dead as a BLM supporter who made chilling Facebook posts about black massacres and evil spirits. Kim Brady Carricker, 40, shot dead four men and a 15-year-old boy in the Kinzessing neighborhood on the eve of the 4th of July. He is now in custody and facing multiple murder charges after rampaging through the streets with an AR-15. It doesn't matter what gun it is. a handgun and wearing a ballistic vest. Facebook posts from March 2020 show Carriker dressed as a woman wearing a bra, hooped earrings, and gold bracelets. The killer has now been revealed to be a firearm-obsessed computer nerd who posted a video just a few days ago of children at a gun range. Now, computer nerd means that this person was on the computer all the time. Hey, you know what? You want to see what the friggin' connection is, whether it's SSRI drugs or if it's people. How many mass shooters were never on a computer? And like I said, these mass shootings only started occurring at the advent of the internet. He had posted eerie articles to Facebook titled, "How do you know if an evil spirit is following you? Or maybe it's in your computer trying to communicate with you." As well as a photo of a map listing historic black massacres throughout U.S. with the caption stating, "We kept the receipts." Whatever that means. Let's go on with the article. In May 2020, Carriker posted a video to his Facebook of a burning Philadelphia police car that had been daubed in graffiti with the letters ACAB, which stands for All Cops Are Bastards. He was also using a police scanner in an attempt to stay a step ahead of the cops, but was ultimately backed into an alleyway and surrendered. Why, if you have a bulletproof vest on, why would you surrender? That gives indication that you want to get into a shootout. Families have been enjoying, oh, okay, a mother and daughter, Tina. Carriker was a really smart, intelligent, creative, and loved working on computer programs. She had never seen Carriker with a gun, and she admitted that he had an aggressive approach to some things in life. Uh-oh. Oh, if you're aggressive, you should be watched. He also had shared images of items of clothing, like phrases like, "The First Amendment defines us, the Second Amendment defends us." Another hooded sweatshirt includes branding that says, "I lubricate my AR-15 with liberal tears." One other design, including eerie phrase, "Know this, we are many, there are few. To fear death is a choice that they can hang us all." Carriker also shared images showing support for former President Donald Trump. Apollo 4 coming soon. So I think this is all planned out, and obviously this is an effort and try to demonize, obviously, Trump supporters, the Second Amendment. And who knows if this person actually posted all these things or what was going on here. We need to see. This person obviously had some issues, mental issues. And, you know, to connect this person to Donald Trump or any crazy to Donald Trump, and we're going to get into that in a minute. If you're online, you have a mental illness, you're very vulnerable to influence. So who knows where the influence from this person came from? So here's a first. Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene overwhelmingly booted from House Freedom Caucus. It really stemmed around her calling Lauren Boebert a bitch and then siding with Kevin McCarthy on everything. So I'm not going to delve too much into this. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I think she's got a little too heady and a little too arrogant and is full of hubris now and embraced by the Republican Party. I like the Freedom Caucus just because it's a policy platform. And if you disengage from policy platforms and you go out on your own, good luck with that. Policy is what politics is all about. It's not about personality. The Wall Street Journal reports Americans have quitting their jobs. The rate at which workers are voluntarily leaving employers is approaching pre-pandemic levels. So people are seeing what's happening here. And after the chaos caused by the pandemic, they're putting it in the rearview mirror. And they're looking around and saying, oh my God, the apocalypse maybe is not here. And so they want to get on with their lives and go back to work. And it's seemingly to go on and, you know, keep working until retirement age or what have you. Because people were worried there that there was going to be a cascade of crises in this country, which I still believe there will be. But there was a problem with the economy, and so they had to put people's fears to rest. I don't think those fears are unwarranted, and especially with the war in Ukraine escalating still, we're going to still have a lot to contend with. Plus, Disease X will be coming soon as well. From CNN, here's what Americans say they need to feel rich or even just financially secure. They say they need $233,000 a year on average through the CNN poll. Most people don't make that much. So realistically, despite what the economy is, that most people don't feel financially secure. And that's for the reason a lot of people are going back to work, because they need to beef up their finances. But people have their eye on the horizon and knowingly, you know, are careful about what's coming up. And so, but you gotta be, you know, gotta get your finances right. You got to have your dropout plan. You got to be prepared to flee. You got to have physical gold. And you have to hedge against the collapse of the dollar. Biden, this is from AFP, Biden yanks pro-growth label from Republicans, touts vigor of economy. It's not. The only thing that's propping them up is they're re-engaging with China, which is exactly what the opposite of what we should do. And so that's propping up the economy. There's no real growth against inflation. The growth is very tepid. There is a strengthening of the economy, and that has to do with what we were just talking about from the Wall Street Journal, is people have quitting and are becoming a little bit more productive, because people after the pandemic wanted to pull back, reinvest emotionally in their families and their lives. But now they're going back to work to prepare for the next crisis. Gallup, historically low faith in U.S. institutions continues. And I would just clump this in with the establishment. There's low faith in not just the U.S. establishment, but global establishments and others, because they've seen that these institutions are propped up as a way to control the populace, and not as tools of the republic to help in certain situations, economically, socially, etc. People are, though the sentiment of the electorate is anti-establishment, because the establishment is corrupt. So that has to go with the institutions too. So you start lumping in the FBI or the Federal Reserve or all these different things, people are going to look at it and say, you know, I don't trust the Federal Reserve. It needs to be audited. I don't trust the FBI. They're a murderous, they frame people. I mean, they're the U.S. secret police. So going to the Hill, DeSantis blames the media for sagging poll numbers. They're going after me. Well, they go after every Republican. That's not just you. But you have failed to connect with the broader Tea Party, broader Republican, the new Republican movement, and you don't know whether to give lip service to your old school establishment Republican backers or to give lip service to the Tea Party. You don't know what to do, and since you don't know what to do, you're looking weak. The fact is, you have to pander to the electorate. And the electorate is anti-establishment. So whatever the establishment is trying to push, whether it's Republican establishment or Democratic establishment, uniparty establishment, you have to work against that. But it's hard depending on who your donors are, because your donors really dictate of what your political platform will be. So Reuters is reporting AI robots could play future role as companions in care homes and as a robot. Here called Nadine. Nadine, a social robot powered by artificial intelligence with human-like gestures and expressions, could have an important future role in tending to sick and elderly, according to the professor who helped invent it. Indeed, you know, we know this from iRobot, is that especially if people are quite infirmed or don't have mental capacity, they might not know it's a robot. So this is just a way to displace home care workers, which are very hard jobs, and those people don't get paid a lot. It's a very difficult industry. And just like any employer, they want to get rid of people that would have to pay. And you could easily put a robot in front of elderly people to care, not necessarily to care for them, but for social companionship. Washington Times is reporting China's military is leading the world in brain neurostrike weapons. Technology could be a key asymmetric warfare tool for Taiwan military assault. The China's People's Liberation Army is developing high-technology weapons designed to disrupt brain function and influence government leaders or entire populations, according to a report by three open-source intelligence analysts. The weapons can be used to directly attack or control brains using microwave or other tech-directed energy weapons and handheld guns or larger weapons firing electromagnetic beams, adding to the danger of China's brain warfare weapons prior or to or during a conflict is no longer theoretical. So is this connected to the Havana syndrome or not? I mean, just come on. You have these people, including people in the embassy in China, but also in Havana, where they were suspected of being assaulted by directed energy, mind weapons, microwave weapons, that was disrupting their brain function. And then here you have an article saying China has perfected their brain weapons, their neurostrike weapons. Come on. And then the problem is the U.S. government, but probably to get out of liability, was trying to dissuade people from believing that it was a electromagnetic weapon that was directed at people in the embassy. Fucking ridiculous. A little Fukushima update. If you didn't know that the UN allowed the Fukushima plant that was damaged in a tsunami in Japan, has allowed Japan to allow Fukushima to release radioactive water into the Pacific. And that's why I was like, well, so much for eating Pacific tuna. China extends ban on some Japanese food over wastewater release plan. I mean, and Korea has too. It's, you know, this is dangerous, but the UN doesn't care. And they haven't really cared about, you know... We can all eat bugs, you know, bugs aren't harvested from the ocean, but fishing in the Pacific has become polluted because of these contaminants, the radioactive contaminants being flushed into the Pacific for years now, over a decade, almost. And then we're going to look at crazy Trump supporters. QAnon leader Michael Protzman dies in dirt bike accident. Followers claim it's just a hoax. Which I believe. The people that follow QAnon are dumb. The people that follow this guy were even more stupid. He claimed that Trump was actually reincarnated or was John F. Kennedy or some crap like that. I mean, people will believe anything. And so if you're on the internet, don't believe what other people say. I mean, whether you're this guy Carriker, you know, if he's obsessed. The problem is if you're obsessed with firearms, hey, I like tactical porn just like the next guy, but I'm not too obsessed with guns because then you want to end up shooting them at people. And I don't want to shoot people. I just want to be able to defend myself. And so if you're wearing, particularly if you're online showing off your weaponry or you're online with your ballistic body armor on, you know, come on. Why aren't these people investigated? You know, especially if you do things that are threatening, I guess there's a fine line. But the people that were following QAnon are mentally ill. It was taken over by intelligence. Michael Protzman was probably an intelligence operative or asset, and they did probably fake his death so he could go on and do something else. Because QAnon now, that they don't need them as much as they did during the Trump presidency, and especially when they were fomenting January 6th, they needed QAnon the most. Yeah, you got to be careful about being on the internet and listening to whatever it is. Peaceful political discourse is the way to evoke change. That's what you have to do. You got to get out there. You know, if you want to get out there on the corner with a sign, on a busy street corner, just hold up a sign, and you could probably change people's minds very effectively that way. You want to get on the internet, you know, you're better off getting onto the internet and speaking out your political strategy rather than your frustration or angst. I think that's each one teach one. You can affect one person's frame of mind and try to, you know, indicate what the best way to have a political discourse. And you have to understand balance. It's Asian philosophy, but also the Hermetics. Hermetic principles know this about balancing. And the Hegelian, you know, dialectics and all that. You have to understand that there are two sides to the coin, and that goes with politics also, what the difference between conservative and liberal is. But you have to understand politics if you want to engage in political discourse. And that's what we need more of, political discourse. And don't get frustrated about what's happening. Just understand that we're under fifth-generational warfare, asymmetric warfare, launched by the postmodern, Western postmodern left and the communist Chinese. And we have to understand that. And you have to understand what the cultural assault is. A lot of people on the right do, but I don't think, you know, left of center or centrists or you know, moderate leftists really understand what's going on. Your compassion has been targeted to create cultural upheaval. And so when you think you're helping people to be trans or be transgender or to, you know, sell drag queens or drag lifestyle or LGBT lifestyle to children, all this is it is a terrible assault on cultural norms, which are the basis, that's the foundation to raise healthy families, well-adjusted people, is to get them out of crazy thinking. And don't, you know, don't buttress the thinking is because someone's chemically, their endocrine system has been chemically assaulted, you know, or affected by chemicals. You don't buttress their thinking is by saying, hey, you know, maybe you are a girl or maybe you are a woman or gender is something that you decide is a construct. That's all postmodern thinking. And the postmodernists know that that line of thought is a cultural assault. So there has to be some cultural normativity. And there has to be, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So if you're a progressive, you have to understand that there is some point of retaining some traditionalistic thinking. All right, so for me, Rudy's Revelation. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment down below, follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Lines. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
New World Order.